guess, a poem to read, and it's called The Good Shepherd. Where are you going, shepherd, to find my sheep? How far will you go? As far as my sheep? How far may that be? To the world's end? How long will you seek it until I find it? When you find it, will it come to you? No, it will flee from me. Where will you go then? To the rocks and the sand. When will it stop? When it can run no more? What will you do then? Carry it home. Thank you, Brother Arton, for that. God loves us so much. God loves us so much. Title of my message today is God Will Not Lie. And I'm going to read the verse that I pull that from. God will not lie. In the book of Numbers, and I'm going to do a lot of referring to and reading out of the book of Numbers. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. This is not talking about Jesus, it's talking about people. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? This is an unusual message for me, and I kind of had to work at it a little bit, and I hope it is a blessing to you. But what I want to establish is what God has given you and I in our salvation package is perfect the way it is, and we should not mess with it. When man gets his hand in religion and gets between God and other men, he messes it up every time. That's why we have so many denominations, and there are a lot of these denominations that aren't worth 2 cents, because what they add takes away from the basic plan of salvation. When you do that, you've really spoiled what God wants to give. God has a perfect plan. God has made promises, and he will keep it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word, and thank you for the whole word that we're going to share today. Let it be a blessing. Lord, I never seek to discourage or burden anyone, but let this be a blessing to your people. Lift us up, strengthen us, and let us understand that every promise in this book is ours. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I pray that you'll bring blessing and strength to your word, and bring strength to me and my voice as I minister. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So I want to tell you a story, not about a man named Jed. How many remember that story? Oh, I could almost sing that whole deal. Or the Harper Valley PTA, or Running Bear and Little White Dove, or, you know, there's a lot of stories. But this story today is about Balaam, the prophet, the son of Beor, and Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab. And what I read to you in this first verse, verse 19, 23:19, is part of a prophecy that Balaam gave. So the whole crux of this story is that God gave Moses the power to destroy the Amorites, and King Og. And then they came and set camp close to Moab. And Balak was nervous because he didn't think he could fight the battle. So he had a really, really good plan. Now, he was a worshiper of Baal, but these people worshiped every god they could imagine or find. And there was one that wasn't covered, and that was represented the God of Israel. And so what Balak thought up was, I'm going to get Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse Israel, and that'll give me one more article or weapon in my arsenal to bring defeat, because he was afraid. So he first sent for Balaam, and Balaam took in the people that he sent, the delegation. They promised great money, great wealth, and I think that was a problem for Balaam. Balaam listened to God. God told him, send these people away because I can only bless Israel. I can only bless. More or less, what I've blessed is blessed and I'll not change. Does that mean Israel was perfect? By no means. By no means. But God had given a plan and a sacrifice and kind of a type of Jesus Christ that would come about 1,500 years later. And God made a covenant with Israel. And God made a promise to his people. And he said, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to take that back. So you might as well send them home, send them on their way. Balak was not good in taking no for an answer. So he sent higher princes and a delegation and elders and more money. And he came again and Balaam said, well, wait overnight and I'll talk to God. And God said, the same thing, I'm only going to bless my people. I'm only going to bless my people. I'm not going to curse them. I will not do that. And so Balaam asked God, well, what should I do? He said, if they ask you, go with them. Now, this is kind of like a conflict. God said, don't go, only bless. But then God said, go with them, because he knew the heart of Balaam. But God was going to use Balaam even though he was stubborn and resistant to the word of God. Now, number one, wouldn't you love to hear from God like that, where God would speak to you? Balaam had the greatest blessing in the world, and all he had to do was cooperate with God's word. What I want to get across to us is we can't change God's plan. We can't touch God's word. We've got to leave it alone. We've got to go with the pure, holy word of God. And that is where all the blessings of God are. I'm going to tell you a funny part of this. I'm going to read Numbers 22, 22 through 35. This is about Balaam. This is about a donkey. And this is about an angel. So Balaam went with the princes. And there may be, you know, when we read the story, well, why did God do this after telling him to go? God gave this guy every sign in the world, and he still didn't pay attention. Verse 22 says, then God's anger was aroused because he went. He told him to go. He let him do his will. God doesn't control our will. I wish sometimes he would. Might help us out. But God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey. Two servants were with him. And the donkey, I love this part. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into a field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on one side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there's no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck his donkey with a staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. How many remember years ago watching a movie called Francis? It was about a mule, and he was part of the army. And there was one particular guy, I think it's Donald O'Donnell or Donald O'Connor maybe. And he was the guy that heard the mule speak. That was pretend. Mr. Ed, sorry folks, that was pretend too. But this was real. God opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you?" Boy, I feel sorry for that donkey. Number one, that guy was so mean to hit the donkey. "What have I done to you that you've struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, if I was Balaam, I would be astounded. I wouldn't say anything to the donkey. I would say, "What?" But he said, "Because you have abused me." I thought, you poor, pitiful, ignorant guy. You're listening to your donkey, and you're coming up with poor me because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, and now I would kill you. The minute I heard the donkey, I think I would have forgotten about that stupid idea. That was wrong. He was wrong to hit the donkey, but he was even more wrong to threaten to kill the donkey as the donkey was talking to him. So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" The donkey has good sense. The prophet doesn't. The donkey said, "Haven't I always done what you wanted? Haven't I been obedient? Have I ever disposed to do this?" And the prophet answers honestly, "No, you haven't done anything like this before." And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord. Can you imagine? God speaks to Balaam. And he hears the voice of God. And he still pushes towards that pot of gold. Or what is something that's really not his. And something that he can't earn by cursing Israel. The donkey speaks to him. And then the Lord opens his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. By now, he's gaining a little bit of understanding and reality of what's going on. And the angel of the Lord said, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times?" I think this is a good message to teach us to treat animals right. I do. Say, well, what are you, part of PETA? Not by any stretch, but I do think that if you have an animal of any sort, you should treat that animal as well as you can. I mean, there are some that you have to stand back and try to train, but don't be overbearing and hateful to animals. They're there for our service. And he said, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out against you because your way is perverse before me. This is a judgment against you. And that donkey more or less saved your life. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now. And listen, and let her live. Isn't that amazing? To where the angel of the Lord said, I would have taken your head off and destroyed you because of your perverse ways. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. If an angel of the Lord just told you, if it hadn't been for that donkey saving your life, I would have killed you, wouldn't you think he was displeased? I think I'd get that. But Balaam still has the gall to say, if that's what you want, I'll turn back. But the angel of the Lord said, reading the heart of Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that shall you speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now when he got there, Balak was absolutely distraught. I sent for you these many times and you didn't come. I'm very perturbed with you, and I've offered you all kinds of honor and blessing. So God told Balaam at his home, you can't curse Israel. So Balak takes him to the high place of Baal. And there's a compromise that goes on with Balaam when he goes into the house of the false gods. When he says, build seven altars, because there's only one God. You only need one altar. So he broke down under the temptation to compromise the ways of God, to compromise the truth of the Word of God, to try to seek if I try again, can I get God to change his mind? At the high place of Baal, God said, no, I'll bless my people only, and I will curse them not. Balak takes him to the top of Pisgah, and he says, okay, now you can see a little bit clearer. Maybe you can get the right answer. And Balaam seeks God, and God gives him prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. I will not curse my people. I will only bless them. This sets good for Israel, because when God makes a promise, it's good. This is good for you and I too, because we have promises as Christians, and those promises are real. They are absolutely good. And then Balak takes him to the top of Peor. And he says, let's give it another go. Man is so stubborn in his resistance against the word and the truth and the promise and the mercy and the grace of God. He keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And again, that's why we have churches that are absolutely worthless today, because they teach the words of man and not the word of God. Every time God says you're going to bless Israel, then he delivers four prophecies at different times. The last prophecy goes into the prophecy of the millennial time. The second one is the one that I've read part of, and Numbers 23, 18 through 20. And then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. What has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received the command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Man cannot change the word of God. Man cannot add or take away from the word of God. I think Balaam is one of the dumbest prophets ever. Because God spoke to him. The donkey spoke to him. The angel spoke to him. Balak kept coming after him, and he still pursued a way to get around God's word and God's blessing. We don't really have a clear understanding of what happened, but we do know this, that Balaam gave some advice to the leaders of the Midianites and to Moab. And what he said was, if you want to bring Israel down, he couldn't curse them. He said, seduce them with your women and with your gods, because their gods were pagan and their rituals were ungodliness, sexual immorality. When man makes a religion, he makes it to where it feeds the flesh and the ungodly side of man. That's God, that's a man's creation. When God brings a religion, he puts those things that are destructive to us aside and says, don't do that. And he gives us blessings where our lives can be the best and be the least free of guilt, where we can have peace and love and mercy. In Numbers 31 and 8, so many times Balaam said, I want to die the life of a righteous man. And he failed because of his perversion, because he kept going after the pot of gold. Verse 8 says, they killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And verse 16 says, look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. In that plague, 24,000 Israelis died. 24,000. God brought judgment. Then one man, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood up and took a javelin, and he took out the daughter of the Midianite leader and the Israelite that had committed adultery with her. He took them out both with that javelin, and God stopped the judgment, and there began the restoration. And this man, even though he was a priest, he had to make a sacrifice, go out of the camp for 7 days, and he had to be sanctified so that he could come back into fellowship with God. I'll tell you what, God's serious about his word. He's serious about his blessings. He's serious about every promise that he's made. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Peter said, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. This is talking about Christians. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrain the madness of the prophet. It's amazing how God so patiently speaks to people, and yet the will of man keeps coming against the will of God, fighting the very blessing and strength that God's offering. Revelations 2 and 14, speaking to the church of Pergamos, Jesus said, "But I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality." God has given us His Word, the Old Testament and the New Testament. When God says don't, it's the very best for you and I. We are blessed when we follow and stay away from the sin and the ugliness that God saved us from, and when we sanctify ourselves by committing ourselves to the Lord, putting aside the stubborn will that man can have, and say yes to the mercy and the grace and the blessing and the benefit of God. God made it very clear to Balaam, and Balaam kept pushing God and God's word away. Driven by greed, God took out 24,000 of his own people, and then they came back and they destroyed the Midianites, including their five kings. We want, I'm speaking for us all, if you disagree, you can shake your head negative. We want our church to be shaped by the hand of God and not by the hand of man. We want God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to settle upon us and to minister, to show great victories and miracles in our life, and to raise us up as those who are sanctified, set apart unto God. And folks, let me tell you what. Let's all bless Israel. Let's bless Israel. Do you see the danger when people try to come against Israel? It only ends badly. And during the millennial time, God is going to set Israel up, and everybody else is going to be subdued by judgment or compliance. I had a hard time with the song this week. It may not fit, but if it don't, I'm going to gamble. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Do you hear them coming, brother? Thronging up the steeps of light, clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white. And the main emphasis is, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm not going to read any more of that, but I just want you to know that what we seek today, what we need today, is to be that glorious church. Not having spot nor wrinkle. Put aside all of the things that are of the devil and of the world. There's a lot of temptation, even for churches, to get with the world and do the things of the world and, you know, have a Christian nightclub and all that. No, I don't want that. I want to see God move in our lives. I don't want a Christian nightclub. I don't care if it does draw more people. I don't want to compromise the word and the will of God. I want us to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I want to bless Israel. I want God's presence to dwell where we are and where we worship. Debbie and I listened to a presentation of the Calvary Chapel Church prophecy, and it was so good about what's just ahead. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We used to preach that every other week, and it would make our hearts so glad. But we've kind of got busy with other things, but Jesus is coming to get you, folks. He's coming to, when he comes and gets us between here and there, we're going to be changed. Scripture says in the twinkling of an eye, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we know we're going to be changed to be like him. Jesus is coming. But he's coming for that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. A lot of churches, and I don't want to put down anyone that's teaching the truth. There's a lot bigger churches than we are that are successful in preaching the Word of God. But there are too many that have compromised. And we'd rather be on the side of obedience to the Lord. We want our hearts to be ready. We want to be a light to the world. And when Jesus comes, we want to be gone. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. We are a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But we're also a church that's looking for your coming. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch us in the time that we have. We don't want to sit back and wait. We want to work until you come. Give us what we can do. Lay it out before us. Let us always lift your name on high. Let us always praise and give you glory. Let us pray for the people who need you desperately. Lord, we can do that. We can pray. We can worship. And Lord, we can be ready to go. I pray that you'll strengthen us all. We just yield ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to you. Holy and mighty God, holy and mighty God. Holy Jesus. Just speak to the Lord this morning. Just love him for a minute. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Aren't you glad he's with us today? Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. He's here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Shora makandalidia. Praise God. Sister Watson said that she was having a good day. We want to pray that it stay a good day and be better. Jesus, your mercy. Thank you. But Lord, we're asking that you bring restoration. Ora makandalidia satai. Not by the touch of anyone but you, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Touch Brother Henry, give him your strength and your mercy. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch Brother Art and give him your strength today. Mercy, Lord. Sleep at night. Strengthen the day, Lord. Help him every day. Continue this kidney being stronger and working better, Lord. Mercy, mercy, mercy. In Jesus' name. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Any others that you'd like prayer today? The hand of God has already touched the service, but oh, if you want a special prayer, we want to do that. Mercy, Jesus. Mercy, Jesus. Holy God. Melva's been sick a long time. On a Wednesday night, I remember when it started. Jesus touched Melva. I am in agreement with Dave, Lord, your mercy in her life. Give her strength. Lord Jesus, give her strength. And minister, Lord, restoration in her life. Oh, Ramakanda. Touch her, Lord, soul, body, and spirit. Mercy in every part of her life. Restoration. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Sunday. It's that precious name. There's something about that name. Jesus has a power to overturn nations in the name of Jesus. And we need to pray for our nation because it's not going good. He's able to heal the children and the elders and all of us in between. He's able to work out job difficulties. He's able to touch families. He's able to set right things that have been wrong for a long time in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray today that in your name, that your power will flow over Calvary Temple. We don't want to go the way of the tempter. We don't want to be drawn aside for any promise of wealth or fame. But Lord, we want to go your way. We want to be blessed by your hand. And we know the promises you made are yea and amen. There's no fuzzy part of your word. It's clear. And let us walk in your way and in your word. Help us not to argue with your will, but to be obedient, to walk the steps you've laid before us, and to be faithful, because the blessing for that is so awesome. Thank you for showing us the way. In Jesus' name. You know, Balaam said in many of his prophecies, I see with a clear eye, my eyes are wide open. And I thought, are you crazy? You keep asking God for the wrong thing, your eyes are shut. The song we sang said, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Lord God, open our eyes. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you at 5:00.